Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Elliot Friedman joins us now. Elliot, are you in Miami this weekend?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale, yes. As a matter of fact, I was on the beach today. I was working on my tan, and
aren't you fancy?
Yes.
Jealous.
I look good.
How is the tan going? And so, Elliot, you know, when you're Canadian and you go back home, like, what kind of tan do you have to show off here to really make a difference?
The deepest, well, first of all, right now in Canada, we're all pasty. It's like minus 30 Fahrenheit.
You're not showing a lot of skin these days.
That's right. No, we're not. Like, it's tough to show that tan underneath a giant winter parka. Like, that's for sure. Our weather was crappy right now. I was sending some pictures to my wife this morning, and she was just cursing me. So I might try to extend my trip.
Oh, Elliot, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I feel like at this point with the Nashville Predators, we are almost at, like, a standstill. Like, they'll win a few games, and you might think, okay, well, we feel maybe okay about it. And they lose a few games, and it's like, oh, okay, we're back where we were. That's been the theme with this team all season long. One step forward, a couple steps back. 1 foot forward, a couple steps back. How should the fans feel about this team at this point coming out of the All-Star break?
Well, I think what you want to see is you know, Carolyn, we've talked about this before, and I completely agree with you. What the Predators fans would want to see is, you know, they don't want to see you get close. They want to see you, like, actually get in for a couple of days. Like, I'm looking at the math right now. You know, like, Colorado, you guys have the same number of games, three fewer points. Like, that's the last team I worry about. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a nightmare for whoever they get. Colorado was just too good. You know, I think this. You know, you have to. Your math isn't great right now. You've got the same points, same games as Minnesota. You've got four less points. You have to go on a run. You can't just hang around there in ninth or tenth place like you are right now. You have to get in and show that you've got some staying power. And, you know, the other thing too is, you know, we've talked a lot about David Boyle and his history. You know, I just think when it comes to him, unless this team shows that they're actually in the race, like in it, I don't necessarily think he goes out to do anything if they're close. I don't know if I see it as much. I think the only way he really goes out and adds, unless it's somebody he's going to have for a few years, is if they're actually in it, not just close.
So what do you think he should do?
I think you've got to let this play. I think you've got to let this play out. I think you have to let your team. Like, you've got a month now before the trade deadline. The trade deadline is a month tomorrow. I think what you do is you let your players decide for you. You see how the next month goes, and then you start to see, you know, what is the interest level on some of your players? How do you want to reshape your roster? You know, I know Ekholm's name has been out there. You know, there's not a lot of teams right now. He's a good player. I know that I think the thing is there's a lot of teams that can't handle that contract right now. I think what you're doing is you're deciding who's a Predator long-term. When we get better, who's part of this roster? And anyone who isn't that, I think you're looking out there and seeing what the market is for them.
So, Elliot, what you're saying is, in regards to that, is he should think more long-term than short-term, because I think fans around here are thinking more short-term. Hey, what can you do to advance us in the playoffs this year? And if he's thinking more long-term, then that may not sit well, considering what has happened and what the temperature is here with the fans in regards to the Predators. They want some instant success, but I understand the long-term play for a team like the Predators as well.
You know, Derek, I think you have to be realistic. Like to me, like the Predators, I think, I don't look at them and say this is a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And when I look at that, I say that's okay. Like sometimes you're going to be in a position where you can win, and sometimes you're not. A few years ago, you were in a position to win. Now you're not. So I think, I don't think you should be making short-term moves that don't make any sense. Now, if he wants to try to give them a chance to make the playoffs, he doesn't have to give up a lot to add something that might give them a little bit of a burst or they might want to keep, I think that's okay. But I don't think you are moving your best assets now or your best pieces for something that's short-term. It doesn't make sense to me based on where the Predators are. You've got to be thinking, okay, who's going to be here? Who's going to be part of this when we're ready to win the Stanley Cup? Because you're not at that point right now.
Elliot, looking at the short term, big injury with Vegas. For Nashville, the short term is, let's say they pretty much stand pat, as you suggested. Yeah. I kind of see that as the thing. They don't have a ton of salary cap room. They've resisted trading their top picks the last few years, and they've got a decent farm system working right now. So let's just say you're going to roll and let your players decide. You got to pass two teams. I'm looking at Vegas now losing their captain, Mark Stone, and yeah. I'm looking at that as a team. Could you catch a team like that? I'm sure everybody in the West is kind of looking at what happens to Vegas now.
Yeah, I think Vegas is a really interesting one, because the other thing too for Vegas is I wonder about a mental thing with them. Remember last year, they were home and clear in January, and their injuries, they fell apart and they missed the playoffs, right? Like they had a real disaster second half of the season. And I was watching them a couple weeks ago, and here they are in January again. They look like they're home and clear, and now they're starting to get some injuries and they're starting to struggle. And I think on some level, they're probably sitting there and saying, oh no, not this again. And you kind of go through that mental thing. I think they should be better than that this year. They should be able to handle it. But I have watched them and wondered, are they falling apart there again and going and saying, oh no, this is happening to us. So yes, I agree. It's something to watch. But the other thing I think, guys, is that if Mark Stone's out for the rest of the regular season, and all they said was he's out indefinitely, they're going to be able to add into that salary spot, and they should be able to help themselves.
I look at another team in Los Angeles. They played five more games than the Predators. They just rolled through Nashville. Predators beat them 5-3. I think everybody knows what they need. They need a goalie. They couldn't hold a 4-1 lead against Carolina the other night. What are the prospects out there for L.A.? What do they have? Can they improve that position from now until the deadline?
I think they could. I think the biggest question is going to be, are they going to look for a goalie with term, or are they going to look for a goalie with rental? And I believe they want somebody with term. Like the two goalies that I really look at is the one in Arizona, Vemelka. He signed for two more years at a very reasonable number. But I think the price there is going to be very high. And the other guy I wonder about is Demko in Vancouver, who signed for three more years. But he's hurt right now and probably won't be back until the middle of February. I don't know if that allows you enough runway to make that kind of move. And that's going to be an expensive price, too. So I think now, and the other thing is, they got a guy in the minors who's making $5 million right now. Can you find somebody who's willing to take him off your hands? It's going to cost you to do that. So I do think they're looking at long-term solutions. I think that people are going to want a lot for those pieces.
Bo Horvat gets traded from Vancouver. He goes to the East. Evaluate that trade for me there, because I remember back talking to you in the summer when I was looking at the Vancouver situation with JT Miller, with Horvat, a bunch of guys that they needed to make some decisions on. They end up trading Horvat, who arguably is the best player among all of those guys they had made decisions on. So your thoughts on him going to the Islanders?
Well, I think that we kind of got a feeling, really, that it was not going to happen in Vancouver, that they'd made some other decisions. And, they made an offer, and they were very blunt about this. They made an offer that paid Horvat based on what he did before this season. They clearly felt that this was an outlier year, and they weren't going to bump up their offer based on, he's on pace for a career-high 52 goals. They weren't going to do that. And his position was, well, that's I'm not signing up for that. And I think we knew a couple of months ago that this was going to happen. I think the Islanders are one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. They have the second or third worst power play in the league. As I said, the guy's on pace to score 52 goals. He's got 11 power play goals. The Islanders leader has five. He's going to address a lot of things that have gone wrong in New York so far this year. I think they're going to end up signing him too, and I think he's going to be a really good player for them. I think the interesting thing is the gamble about the first-round draft pick. If the pick is in the top 12 this year, the Islanders have the choice not to give it to Vancouver and give it to them next year. But if they do that, there's no protections on it for next year. I'm very curious to see if the Islanders have a choice which way they're going to go, because I would not want to have an unprotected high pick. Like, look what happened to Florida this year. They have an unprotected number one pick going to Montreal, and they look like they've righted themselves. But for a while there, they were in the lottery, and that's a scary place to be.
You have any thoughts? I know that there's been some discussion this week. The television ratings in the States mm-hmm. are down some, and there have been some mm-hmm. good data points on, you know, ESPN put some games up against Sunday Night Football, which was bound to hurt them. TBS has got some blackout rules that are eliminating huge market teams that you don't get their audience in New York or Boston or Chicago, et cetera. So any thoughts on, because there's other theories too, like, hey, they need to be doing a better job here. Your thoughts?
Well, the one thing is, somebody who works in TV, I will always say that I think we could do a better job. Like, I don't think commentators are blameless in all this. And I say that as much about myself as anybody else. We can always be better. Like, in Canada, our streaming up there is pretty simple. You know, like, it's in one place, and I generally have a really easy time with it wherever I am in the country. I've heard in the States, as you said, it's a nightmare. I've been told that, and I hear it's a big problem. I think the NFL thing is a very fair comment. I would not want my games up against Sunday Night Football or anything like that. Football is king, and you're going to get destroyed. So I do think between streaming and scheduling and blackouts, I think it's a very big thing. You know, the other thing, though, I do think our league overall, it needs a little bit more hate and personality. The NFL is a completely different thing. It's a 17-game season. You get so few games that are meaningless. They are the king, and they will be the king for a long time. I really respect what they've done. But I think when you're in basketball and baseball and hockey, where you have long regular seasons, you better be able to show people that, oh, there's something I really want to tune in for here, whether it's the hate, whether it's the personality. And that's one thing I think we have to do a bit more of. And, you know, the other thing, too, is sometimes I think we have to take some more chances as announcers. We have to, you know, be willing to, I don't know, you don't have to be crazy or say or be hot take all the time. But I think you've got to kind of push each other's buttons, because I think the audience loves that. And I think we need to do that a little bit more.
Last one for you, Elliot. Willie and I were discussing this, the differences in the salary caps between the NFL and the NHL, how the NFL salary cap is so malleable. You can turn it into whatever. It doesn't really cap spending. The NHL cap mm-hmm. salary cap, that is a cap, and you cannot go over it. Do you think it would benefit hockey to have some leeway with trades and with contracts to create a little bit more variety and buzz?
Carolyn, from your lips to God's ears, I am with that. I am with that all the time. You know, like, it'll never happen, not as long as Bettman's commissioner. He works for the owners, and he wanted cost certainty, and he's got it. But I've said many times I'd love to see a designated player exemption where, you know, maybe you could go over the cap with one player. I wish maybe it was more of a luxury tax than a salary cap. I am so in favor of all this. but it's like beating your head against that wall, and the wall is titled Bettman. It's not happening under his watch.
Elliot Friedman, we appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the sun out there.
I will. Thanks very much, guys. Have a great day.
Don't go back looking like a lobster, though, Elliot.
SPF 50.
I would consider that a success if I went back, because that will turn into a great tan eventually.
Okay, but just don't peel. I grew up in Florida. I saw a lot of people coming down from the north at spring break and looking seriously like lobsters when they went back home. It's not fun.
I don't peel, so I'm good.
Good skin tone.
All right, appreciate you, Elliot. We'll talk with you next week. All right, coming up next, we'll get into your phones, your thoughts, 615-737-1025, and some of our thoughts on what Elliot had to say as well. It's Caroline Billy D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
I'm looking at the math right now. Colorado, you guys are the same number of games, three fewer points. Like, that's the last team I worry about. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a nightmare for whoever they get. Colorado was just too good. I think this, you have to, your math isn't great right now. You've got the same points, same games as Minnesota. You've got four less points. You have to go on a run. You can't just hang around there in ninth or tenth place like you are right now. You have to get in and show that you've got some staying power. And, the other thing, too, is, we've talked a lot about David Boyle and his history. I just think when it comes to him, unless this team shows that they're actually in the race, like in it, I don't necessarily think he goes out to do anything if they're close. I don't know if I see it as much. I think the only way he really goes out and adds, unless it's somebody he's going to have for a few years, is if they're actually in it, not just close.
There you go. That was Elliot Friedman. He is the best. And what he said there, I want to touch on. But I promised your phone, so to your phones we go. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate is up next. What's up, Nate?
Afternoon, y'all. I just wanted to bring up the ratings part of the interview. My thing is, I have friends and coworkers that want to watch the games, but they can't because they don't have the Bally Sports subscription or even, the TV bundle to where you can watch on TV or stream it. They have ESPN Plus and all these other subscriptions. We know that Bally's probably going to go under or whatever's going to happen with them. Why don't we put the local broadcast either on ESPN Plus or on a very wide subscription so it's not blacked out because of those locally televised games?
Yeah, thanks for your call, Nate. Good insight.
Yeah, it's a complicated question. It's a legit question because...
It's fair.
Yeah, and... There are, without going into a whole lecture about this, and listen, this is all above my pay grade. I try to understand it as best as I can. But if you are not a cord cutter, you get the games for Bally. If you have satellite, most kinds of satellites, and if you have cable, you get the games. And then you also have a right to stream them. Just like if you have HBO at home, you can get HBO Max without subscribing. If you're a cord cutter, then you got to pay for the HBO Max. That's kind of how it works. And so Bally now has the Bally Sports Plus app. So it's an option for cord cutters that you can just buy the games. Now, some people think that's a little too pricey. I think it's like $20 a month. But that's the choice that you have.
That's steep.
Ooh. Yeah. And that's the feedback that comes back a lot of times. But it's at least an option that you didn't have before. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you get now you still have to play the game. Well, I have YouTube TV or I have Hulu. And I want the games to be on where I have the streaming service. So this is the constant struggle for the regional broadcast. Elliot, what we're also talking about is the national broadcast. How do you get bigger ratings for the two national partners, ESPN and TNT? Because this is the second year of there. So the streaming has become a very complicated thing. And accessibility, if you have ESPN Plus, for example, that's a whole nother ballgame. But if you have ESPN Plus, you still don't get the local broadcast in your market. You get every other broadcast virtually, but you don't get the local broadcast. So that has to do with the rights fees and everything like that. So it's a very complicated question, just like cord cutting with anything you're talking about has made it complicated, right? And how many people are starting to say this? Well, man, I thought I was saving all this money with cord cutting, but now I'm paying just as much as I was before because I got to get this streaming service to get my team over here, and I got this streaming to get the movies that I want and these games. So it has become a really big headache.
And
you know,
it's kind of the same critique that I've heard of baseball. Of if you want to grow,
baseball, I think just
game,
lost YouTube TV. I think the agreement just expired January 31st, and they just let all their people know you can't get baseball anymore.
And the blackouts, it has become so inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
And for a league that wants to grow the game and wants to make it more popular, you have to make it accessible, and that's what's difficult.
Now, is there what is the latest with Bally Sports in regards
to
hockey?
It's a lot of speculation on what's going to happen, but there's no secret. I think there's been a lot of reports of the company that owns the Bally outlets, and this is hockey, baseball, and NBA. There's a ton of teams that they have the regional rights to, but Sinclair Broadcasting is the corporation that owns that, and they've been struggling financially. There's a lot of speculation on what's going to happen. So there's a lot of different speculation on what you do if you're a league and that happens. You know, what would it do to your rights fees? What does it do to the individual teams? And then where do you get your games? You know, what's so. These things usually take a good while to sort themselves out. It's definitely worth following for sure. But, you know, I would like to think, and this is, of course, where I'm sitting, is this is, you know, and I don't work directly for Bally, right? I work for the Predators. The Predators employ their own broadcast teams, and then they partner with whoever's going to show the games. I think there's always going to be a market for your local team to have their games on TV, right?
Absolutely.
We're so conditioned. So it's going to be somewhere, but the question is, where is it going to be, and what are the rights fees involved? What's the accessibility for the broadcast? These are all the questions going forward. I don't have the answers to the questions right now, unfortunately.
And rights deals are complicated.
Oh, yeah, because it all comes back to the cord cutting and the financial model is changed in the last 4 or 5 years, especially with all the people saying, you know what, I don't want to pay for all of these channels that I don't watch many of them. So it's appealing to me to go a little more a la carte. But then, as we know, you get a new set of problems with that, right? You don't always get exactly what you want when you go cord cutting, especially when it comes to your sports teams.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A recent seismic change that has changed football, but it might also change off the field as well. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, back to your phones, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
By now, I'm sure you've heard that a million trillion times. Every time I
looked
up. I
haven't seen it. Where is this? I haven't found it.
It is everywhere on every media outlet ever. I feel like yesterday, every time I looked up at the TV, it was like, oh, there's Brady on the beach. So by now, we all know Tom Brady has made the decision to step away from football. He will be retiring for good this time, per himself. So that is obviously going to send massive shockwaves throughout the NFL. How that affects the quarterback carousel, how it not only affects the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but how that affects every other team that could have potentially dipped their toes into the quarterback carousel, the Titans included. But football is one thing. Off the field, it's also going to make a massive impact as well. And that's what Tom Brady's future is. As far as we know, Tom Brady's future is with Fox. Tom Brady, before he retired after the 2021 season, signed a massive $375 million contract with Fox over 10 years to be their next guy in the booth. And of course, obviously we know, Tom Brady didn't go to Fox this year. He continued playing football. So Greg Olsen sat in that role and called games in Tom Brady's spot. So now, what is the future of Greg Olsen? What is the future of Tom Brady? What is the future of Fox broadcast? Now, we know, and this is in an Athletic article by Richard Deitch. It was good reporting by Richard Deitch and good insight into Greg Olsen's situation and Fox's situation. Tom Brady will not be calling the Super Bowl. That will be Greg Olsen. Tom Brady could potentially be there for media day. He could potentially play a role in the pregame show, but he's not going to be in the booth in play-by-play. But the future in 2023 and beyond, Greg Olsen, Tom Brady, Fox. Will Greg Olsen remain with Fox? That's a huge, huge question mark. And I think that really any other play-by-play, any other person in the booth moving forward, their seats are a little bit hot as well. Because as Tom Brady comes in, I think everyone else shifts.
Yeah, I think so. They didn't pay him that much money for nothing. They didn't pay him to be on the, you know, third broadcasting team. You pay a person that type of money to be on your number one broadcasting team. So how Tom will do, only time will tell. You know, he might come in and do a wonderful job. He might come in and struggle somewhat, you know, but they will eventually, you know, his what he does on air during these games will dictate if he stays at the number one spot, you know, for whatever time for the 10 years or if they sort of slowly, you know, get him out of that number one spot because they feel he's not ready just yet. Yeah, but that, you know, in regards to Greg Olsen, that's, you know, that's being a broadcaster on play-by-play live, that's a hard job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's, you know, hey, listen, he's done a great job. I can get up there and do the things that he does, you know, because it takes a special individual, you know, to do. And he's been, you know, he's been in that seat for a while, but I'm sure he's been doing the homework behind the scenes and everything, the coach and everything that he needed to do. Because if they didn't feel he was good enough, they wouldn't have put him in that spot. They felt he was good enough to be in that spot until, you know, Tom Brady was ready to come in and take hold of that seat. So it will be interesting to see how they sort of segue Olsen out, if they segue him out at all. They might, you know, you might run a three-man booth. I don't know.
I was curious about that, you know, part of it. And that's why I was wondering if there might be something to where if Tom Brady has had his time away from everything, I would wonder, I'm sure Fox would be interested in, even if he weren't in the booth, if he could be part of a Super Bowl broadcast somewhere. But I don't know if he's officially started his 10-year agreement. Like, remember how crazy the top level of announcing teams moved around last year. You know, you had a lot of free agents. You had a lot of shifting. Fox got into this situation because what happened? Troy Aikman and Joe Buck left. Mm-hmm. They for end ESPN. Up doing Monday Night Football for ESPN. Fox was put in a tough spot. They have the Super Bowl. They're like, well, we've got to do something. Okay, let's just hire Tom Brady. Let's do that. So Tom Brady wants to keep playing. Well, that put them in a position like who's our number one announcing team? Who do we have left? So it turns out to be Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen. What's interesting to me is those two, I think, have done a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy those guys doing games. I think they call a heck of a game. Greg Olsen is not nearly the name that some of these other guys are. He's not a Hall of Famer. He was a good player for a long time, but he doesn't have a lot of...
He doesn't bring a lot of
fanfare
with him.
Yeah, the casual fan may not even know who he is, really, but I think he's a very, very good announcer. His stock is upped since, but he's always known from day one. Hey, as soon as Tom Brady gets here, you don't pay a guy $375 million and not put him in the chair. So there's a lot of interesting things to watch in the coming years here. But one thing I know, and this is a really interesting article by Richard Deitch, is how Greg Olson's handled it. He's got some really good quotes from Greg Olson saying, look, my only choice in this, I can't control what's mm-hmm. going on. All I can control is to be as good as I can possibly be at this job. And I think he's done a great job in those circumstances.
And to Tom Brady's contract, the vision for Fox was Burkhart and Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Brady going back to football kind of threw a wrench in it. But I don't think Fox would have signed Tom Brady to that kind of contract. I mean, I think it's the largest contract of any play-by-play announcer on TV. And
oh, yeah. It blows it away. Yeah,
considering some of these massive
deals.
These
free agents like Aikman and Buck and Al Michaels, mm-hmm. they just got big raises,
Kirk
right?
Kirk Herbstreit. From Amazon.
Huge money. None of them make what Brady's going to make before Brady's ever called a single game.
And I think that Fox having this vision, I don't think they're going to bend or break on that. You know, they could probably look at Greg Olson mm-hmm. and say, thanks for what you did this year, but we already had this vision and we dished out a bunch of cash for it. I don't think that they're going to want to bend or break on that. And they may.
Like Derek's three-man crew, what would you think of that? As just a viewer for you, would you
I think that's
be okay
too many
cooks
in the kitchen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's just me as a mm-hmm. viewer. Sometimes I think with three men in the booth, with reactions, instant reactions, analysis, sometimes things just happen so quickly that having three calling a game could be too much. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you, I think Greg Olson has done a fine job. I surprisingly enjoy listening to Greg Olson more than I enjoy listening to Tony Romo now.
Ooh.
Tony Romo. Oh, after...
There's a guy whose stock could not have been higher
yes.
a couple years ago, but now there's definitely some people that are getting...
Fatigue.
A little fatigue.
I yeah. have Romo fatigue. I mm-hmm. felt after that Chiefs-Bengals game, I needed to take a nap after listening to Tony Romo. I don't know, Jim. I don't know what they're going to yeah. do here, Jim. And I'm just sometimes like, Tony, you don't need to talk about it all the time. But he also just signed a massive deal. He's on the hook with CBS, I believe, through 2030. He's making,
oh, yeah.
I don't know how much money off the top of my head. But, I mean, that is one thing. I think Greg Olson has been fine. Tony Romo has been driving me up a wall this season.
I'm curious how he handles that part of it.
Olson?
Romo. I think okay. in the offseason, I think the noise, you know, you want to sort of take with a grain of salt. Like all announcers, mm-hmm. I put myself in this category on my own level, you're gonna have some people. You're never gonna have everybody say this person is 100% great all the time. Everybody is always gonna have their opinion, and it's gonna vary. But you do try to say, is there anything constructive here mm-hmm. that I can take from the madness of Twitter? You know, and all of the people that just are anonymous and they're just gonna fling whatever's out there. But I think sometimes you can pick up on some signals and say, okay, what do I need to do? Can I get better here? Is what they're saying, is that legit? Is that constructive? And I think Tony Romo, if he's smart, will listen to some of that.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure his bosses are like, you know, they have their ear sort of to social media or whatever else, and they're hearing what's being said yeah. or seeing what's being said. But I think their deal could possibly be this. Listen, we don't want to overreact. Mm-hmm. But then we don't want to take away a guy's personality to
right.
a point where it's not interesting anymore. We got to find a happy balance between, you know, him being able to dissect plays mm-hmm. and tell you as a viewer what's going to happen and why it's happening, but also, you know, just not being so technical all the time. Because I think once when he first got into it, it was great because the casual fan that didn't know anything about football or didn't know anything about offenses, when they listened to Tony Romo, you learned a lot. You learned, okay, this is why they're doing that. Okay, I see. Oh, okay, the defense shift. Mm-hmm. I can see why they're running that play. But I think after a while, you don't want to hear it all the time. You want sort of like the play to play out itself. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and say something, you know. And I think that's where Tony probably has to find that happy medium. And that's where his boss is, because you don't want to, one, you're on a hook for him. You got to pay him. So you don't want to, you know, take away his personality, because, you know, on one side, there are people that don't like it, but I'm sure on the other side, there are a bunch of people that still love it. So you want to not take that away from them, but yet and still, you don't want it to be too much
yeah.
of it.
You don't want to be thinking too much. Exactly. But at the same time, I think everybody, and this is what made him an NFL quarterback. You always are striving to get better at what you do. Like, even you can't ever stop and just say, I've reached it, now I can just do whatever. I think you always want to try to improve, and I think this is a good time for him on that.
And that's the tough thing that Fox faces, because in this Athletic article, and it's really interesting, they talk about how in meetings and broadcast meetings, how Brady has shown so much personality and has been funny, has been shown really good insight beyond the quarterback position. Part of me sees that totally, because I think Tom Brady, you know, in press conferences, he might seem a little stoic, but you get him away from that environment, he really is funny. He really does have a good personality. But part of me thinks, well, Fox has to believe that. Fox has to think that he's funny and personable and charismatic.
They've guaranteed the money whether he can or not.
So if Tom Brady isn't good at it, and I have no reason to believe that he won't, but if he doesn't bring the same charisma or insight as maybe some other broadcasters bring, sorry, too bad.
Because the public, you're on the hook. The public will at some point forget that he's Tom Brady and they just want to hear a good broadcast. And like I said, nobody's safe. Like, how about Drew Brees? Drew Brees would have had the same thought, like, from all of us, hey, yeah, Drew Brees should be great in the booth. It didn't work. It didn't work. He's out of it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Senior Bowl is going on this week, and I'll be honest with you, I've been to the Senior Bowl a couple times, always have a great time at the Senior Bowl, always love to catch up with people that I don't get to see all the time. I hate how the Senior Bowl is becoming, you know, like, less and less important, because more and more players are leaving before they're seniors, but that's beside the point. Mike Vrabel is there. Jim Wyatt is there. Mike Vrabel sat down with Jim Wyatt to talk about what they're looking for, kind of the latest within the clubhouse. And Jim Wyatt asked the question that we've been asking all of our guests. We've been asking each other. You've probably been asking your friends and fellow Titans fans is, what the heck's going on with the offensive coordinator position? Because we heard, you know, after the season, requests sent to Eric Bieniemy, requests sent to Matt Nagy. They had interviewed Charles London from the Falcons. They interviewed Tim Kelly from within house. And really, that's all we've heard. But since then, Jim Wyatt asked Mike Vrabel, how is the search going? And Mike Vrabel says, it's going good. I feel good about where we're at and having a plan for multiple scenarios. I've enjoyed meeting with a lot of different coaches and hearing ideas and visions, and I'm trying to figure out what's best for us. It will happen when the time is right and when the opportunity is there. I think Mike Vrabel said a whole lot there without saying a whole lot of anything. And the little excerpt here of saying having a plan for multiple scenarios says to me what I think, what I thought was going to be the case, and I think a lot of Titans fans thought was the case too, that Tim Kelly was going to be elevated from within, that this kind of debunks that to me, that if they are having multiple scenarios and are playing out multiple scenarios, then Tim Kelly probably is not the leader in the clubhouse.
I think he feels comfortable with Tim Kelly, and, you know, that will be there for him. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I'm sure if that is indeed the case, you know, if he goes and interviews with Bieniemy or Nagy or one of those guys, say, well, nah, I'm not interested. And the other guy says, well, no, I'm going to look for a job somewhere else. I'm sure Tim Kelly wouldn't come back and say, well, nah, Mike, I don't want that job. You can keep it because you didn't pick me first. No, I'm pretty sure Tim Kelly would be like, hey, thank you. Elevation. I love it. But I think his scenarios involve those three guys. And like Willie said earlier, there could be a dark horse somewhere that he pulled out the back of his pocket. He and Rand Carthon. But I think the scenario right now, as we sit, does involve, you know, those three guys, Bieniemy, Nagy, and Tim Kelly.
I was wondering if this week, because it's the week between, like next week is all about preparation and Super Bowl practices. You're not going to talk to those guys with the Chiefs next week. I would think that there might have been a window this week, but if there was, we certainly didn't hear about it. And, of course, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are at the Senior Bowl. So maybe it just didn't line up, and they're not in any hurry, and they'll just wait. So my hunch would be I'm going to lean towards where Tim Hasselbeck's going. It seems like it's going to be Nagy or a Bieniemy, but he seems to think it's Nagy. That's what I'm thinking, but I'm a little surprised that we haven't heard more names you know, that have come out nationally, locally, of guys that they might talk to?
That could be. One reason could be it's just not put out there. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I would want to put it out there if I were that OC or if I were that coach or that agent, whatever it might be. But part of me thinks if we haven't heard more names, maybe they have their guy.
Yeah, maybe they like
and the time's not right. And maybe the time is because that coach is coaching in the Super Bowl. It's Bieniemy or Nagy. And I always think whenever we talk to our national friends, Tim Hasselbeck included, is that your opinion or are you wink, wink, nudge, nudge opinion? And Tim Hasselbeck said, I'm not reporting it. But I do wonder, is he getting insight from around the league, some buzz from around the league that's attaching Nagy to the Titans for him to say twice on two separate occasions that he thinks that's going to be the guy?
Well, I think it's just a process of elimination. You know, you see some of these other coordinators and some have gotten jobs, some are still out there, but what would be sort of like that? What seems to be the perfect fit for the Tennessee Titans? What seems to be everything points toward Kansas City. Now, whether it's Bieniemy or Nagy, we don't know, but the arrow is pointing toward the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So they want one of those individuals. And if it doesn't happen, then do you come back to Tim Kelly? Because I think at that point, you would almost have to. I'm not going to say you were forced into going back to Tim Kelly if neither one of those work out, but I think that would be more sort of the easiest transition to go back to Tim Kelly, elevate Tim Kelly, because that's what he's done. He's elevated Shane Bourne. He's elevated Downing. What's to say he won't elevate or he will not elevate Tim Kelly if possible?
That's going to do it for us today. Stillman and Company is up next. We'll see y'all tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.